stepped in. And he revealed himself to me in his word, in Proverbs. And I'm standing here today thankful that God had a plan for me. He always has a plan, no matter how your life might be messed up. God has a better plan. He's always had a better plan. Now, we're talking about last Sunday was hindrances to our healings. You could drop the word healing and just say hindrance to anything that God's wanted you to have. Why is it not here? What's going on? Well, if you stick around God long enough, he'll show you. He'll reveal it to you. Amen? Because he's a God of faith. He needs somebody reaching out to him. And when you reach out, like I say, through that heart commitment, asking the questions, the answer is there. It's been hidden, not from you, but for you. Through the Word, through the Holy Spirit. Why? Because God knows the devil. The devil is not your friend. He's out to steal, kill, and destroy. You need to go deeper with that. He wants to totally annihilate us, period. He don't want to just give us cancer. He wants the cancer to go through your body and kill you and take you out. That's not God's plan. That's a devil. That's the thief. And he got kicked out of heaven. I wonder why. Because ain't none of that stuff up in heaven. Amen? There's no pride up there. There's no sickness. There's no darkness in heaven. There's not even shadows up there. In him, there's no shadow of turning. That's in the Word. God is light. There's light in this place. It drives out. It destroys cancers. It destroys tumors. Amen? That's Jesus. He was walking. He's the light walking on this earth. And Jesus left footprints in this earth. He redeemed it from the curse. How do you get redeemed? Walk in his footsteps. They're anointed. Amen? You ever seen the t-shirts? You ever seen those at the beach? Daddy's footprints? Hey, Dad, he carried you. See, you couldn't see your footprints, but you saw his. Where Daddy was carrying me. Jesus was carrying the Father. We couldn't see the Father. He wasn't making footprints. He's a spirit. God is a spirit. That doesn't mean he's not here. Amen. That was the apparent force, brothers. Before we was here, God is. I am that I am. That's what he told Moses. That's all you need to know. I am. God is. I am. I am your healing. I am your provider. I am your Father. Amen. I'll never leave you. I'll never bring harm to you. He's a good Father. Put some more adjectives. Put your adjective on there. He's a righteous Father of all the earth. He has only good things in store for his children. Are everybody in the world God's children? No. There's two kingdoms on the earth. That's where you got. But God wants everybody. It's his will that none perish, but not everybody wants him. Some people, Jesus said, all these religious, they tried to trap Jesus. They didn't know who he was. They were trying to figure it out, but he said, all those the Father sent, they'll come to me and they'll hear me, but you don't have ears to hear. You're not of my Father. You're of your father, the devil. Jesus spoke. He didn't hold nothing back. They wanted to tear him up, kill him, throw him off cliffs. Why? He was speaking the truth. Hey, he was loving them. He was telling them, you're of your father, the devil. You want to get out of that kingdom? Come see me. Jesus said, I'll set you free. Amen. The devil has no place in Jesus. He should have no place in our lives. Yeah, we open up cracks and doors and he comes in and some things we don't understand and don't know, but stick around Jesus long enough. He'll give you light and revelation. He'll tell you, get that old snake out of your house. Get that old stuff out of your house. Books out of your house. Movies out of your house that ain't bringing glory. That ain't bringing truth to you. That's bringing fear to you. Fear's not your friend either. Fear tolerated is faith contaminated. You know where that came from? That came from the prophet Kenneth Copeland. Amen. That just came to me. You know how I heard it? Because I've heard him speak it. It's got into my spirit. But fear tolerated, if you tolerate it, it contaminates your faith. In other words, tolerate it. And you're going to mess your faith life up. Your love walk up. Because your fear has torment. Kenny don't have that. He's got peace. Why? That's what he asked for. And that's for every child of God. Peace that passes understanding. Things, man, somebody, all this fear going around the world, and they come to your house, and they're like, you're just singing that song this brother was singing. I can't remember his name. I searched for about 2 hours trying to find a good song. There's a lot of good songs out there. I just liked the way he sang it. And it was from his heart. I felt like that was for his dad. Amen? Just a pat on the back sometimes is all a dad needs. Just a pat on the back. let you know, hey, Dad, appreciate you. Just a pat on the back. Amen. But you see, even as a father, as a child of God now, I don't need that from my family to be in right standing and know that God loves me. I don't need other people to prove their love. I just know God loves me. Now, it's nice. Believe me, I'm not saying I don't appreciate my kids or anybody that says thank you. That's okay. But God loves me if anybody ever does anything for me good. That you need to know that. Because there's other people out there that don't even know how to be good, and you expect them to be good. Jesus said, don't get that confused with God's love. Because he told them, he said, it's easy to love those that love you. Even the hypocrites, they do that. But to love those that spit you and call all kind of evil on you, for Jesus said, rejoice. Be happy, because they did it to him. But love them. See, that's where God's kind of love supersedes our understanding. Love them. And if you do that, you can win them into Jesus, win them into the kingdom. Because they don't know how to deal with that. If all they understood is, man, every time they got railed at, they go out and rail on somebody else. But then they railed on you and you said, can I pray for you? Something's going on in your life. See, that's when you get in there and you change a life with the gospel, the good news. God loves you. And watch, you need to know that he loves you. Amen. These are some hindrances. A lot of things I just said right there. I'm going to quickly summarize. Hopefully it's going to be quickly so we can get on into who was not here last Sunday. Not here. Oh, man, well, y'all, we'll just preach the whole thing. Y'all don't know. The rest of you is here. Just enjoy yourself. Amen. We're talking about hindrances. Say hindrances. To healings, to what? But you put your name on there. We're just focusing on healing today. But Daniel, in the Old Testament, Daniel 9:3, Daniel set his face unto the Lord to seek by prayer and supplications with fastings and sackcloths and ashes. You ain't got to do all this when you pray no more. This is Old Testament prophet. In 20 and 23, it says, while he was speaking and praying and confessing his sin and sin of the people, Israel, and he was presenting his supplications before the Lord on the holy mountain of his God, while he was yet speaking in prayer, even the man, say man, Gabriel. Okay, Gabriel is an angel, but Daniel saw him as a man. Why? Because he can't see, he can't understand spiritual things. He's a natural man without the Holy Ghost. Amen. So he appeared as a man, but he knew he wasn't just a human man. As a man, Gabriel, whom I seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly. It ain't normal for men to have wings either. See, God will reveal things to you that you can understand. And he touched me about the evening of oblation. Now this angel, Gabriel, touched him while he was still praying. And he informed Daniel and talked with him and said, see, angels are there to give you skill and understanding into the things of God. He said, O Daniel, I am now come to give you skill and understanding. At the beginning of your prayer, supplications, the command, say command, came forth to God. Remember, God is the creator of all beings. And as soon as the command came forth, I am come. Command came, I'm coming. To show you how greatly beloved you are. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. Now Daniel's going to have some understanding of the vision. 3 minutes. That's a 3-minute prayer. He was praying 3 minutes and God, the angel showed up. The answer showed up under 3 minutes. That's pretty good, ain't it? That's pretty good, man. If you had the answer to your prayer within 3 minutes, you'd be happy all the day long. Praise God, I got my answer. Praise God, I got my answer. You'd have to get a book, write a book. Answer to prayer, answer to prayer, answer to prayer. So, Daniel's got another prayer he's praying. In Daniel 10, verses 2 and 4, in those days, what days? The day Daniel was praying. And he was mourning. Uh-oh. He was mourning 3 weeks. He ate no pleasant bread, no Bojangle biscuits for 3 weeks. Neither came flesh nor wine to his mouth. Neither did I anoint myself at all for 3 whole weeks. That was the tradition of the way Daniel prayed. And in the 21st day of that month, I was beside a great river. He was crying a river. So you found a river flowing with peace. Daniel didn't have no peace today, Kenny. He'd been praying for 3 weeks. He was crying himself a river. And behold, verse 10 through 13, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. He went down. When his hand touched him, he went down under the power. And he said, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved. Heard that before. Right? He didn't come to him and say, you wretched old sinner, you old worm you are of a man. That ain't God. Greatly beloved. I lost my place. There it is, beloved. Understand, coming back for the understanding, understand the words that I speak unto thee and stand upright. Stand up. You ain't got to get on your knees and on your hands to pray. But you know, if you need to, fine, but stand up. For I am now sent, and when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood, but he was trembling. Man, something, he had an encounter, a God encounter with an angel. But the angel said, fear not. Fear left, Kenny. Boom, fear not. Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day you did set your heart to understand and to chasten your words, they were heard. From the first day, they were heard. God hears your prayers. He don't hear your tears. You got to add some voice to what you're praying for. Now, he knows the pain you're suffering. I'm not saying, but you need to say something. But you don't need to say while you're crying. You need to say the word of God. Speak the word only. Amen. You need to start praising God and worshiping him. You know, you need to come Wednesday night. We're finishing up on our Better Way to Pray series. Got anybody here Wednesday night? They could tell you some ways to pray and some ways not to pray, because we've been studying, right? Daniel said, 3 weeks, I heard you, Daniel. The command came forth, but this time, the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, see, you might hear one but God's got another but coming. But lo, Michael, who's Michael? Another angel. Not just an angel, he's an archangel. He is one that's over angels. So I believe when Michael showed up, he just didn't show up by himself. He had some help with him. I hear you, Gabriel. We're on our way. They were flying swiftly. They helped so Gabriel could get through all that warfare that's going on in the heavenlies and get to Daniel, a man that's praying for other people. See, he's getting the answer. Why'd it take 3 weeks? Where you been, Gabriel? See, when you pray your prayer and you don't see what's happening, there's something happening in the heavenly realms. There's warfare going on. Things that we can't see with our natural eyes are happening in the heavenlies. Hindrances to healing, hindrances to your offerings, to your blessings, hindrance to the answer to your prayers, there's variables. Let me tell you one variable that's not. God is not your problem. He hears your prayer. You're praying in faith, he hears. Angels are being dispatched. But there's some variables here. The variable in the amount of time it took Daniel to see the manifestation means it's there. It's there, I see it. That's manifesting. The variable in the amount of time it took Daniel to see the manifestation of his answered prayer in Daniel 9 and 10 was caused by, help me. Come on. Who is the devil? See, Daniel didn't know all this. So the angel's telling him. But it was caused by his enemy, the devil. Not by God. God's not your enemy. If God be for us, who can be against us? Nobody. Okay? God's not the problem. So it was the prince of the kingdom of Persia, which represents the devil. Now, there was also something natural going on in that prince right there in Persia. A lot of stuff going on, too. But there's something happening in the heavenly realm. See, Daniel is important. God's given him visions to help the children of Israel get out from bondage. Amen. He's like, he's a prophet, man. He's seeing things in the spiritual realm so things can be spoken and prayed to happen in the natural realm. There's devils out there possessing kings, presidents over this world that need to have people that hear God to pray so them devils can be dismissed from them. So we can live an honest and godly life here on the earth. That's the prayers we pray. That's what you prayed last Sunday when Lewis was preaching. Pray for your president. Pray for your nation. Amen. Because he's anointed by God to be in that position. Amen. I didn't say you had to like everything you did. Pray for him. Amen. You don't have to like everything the pastor says, but pray. You better pray for me. You better love me and pray for me. Amen. We'll get on in there. That could be a hindrance to your prayer. Don't talk about people. Love people. We don't gossip here, right? Amen. We don't gossip. That's a hindrance. Amen. Go read the children of Israel. Why snakes started biting them in when they came out from it, got out there in the desert. Snakes were biting them. People were dying because they were talking against Moses. Amen. Now, God loves them. But see, what they're doing, they're opening up the door to the devil. They didn't understand the devil. They just understood snakes. Snake bite me, I die. But they didn't understand why. That's why Moses, God told him to lift up a pole, put a serpent on it. That represented the cross. It represented sin. It represented Jesus. And they were talking about Moses who represented Jesus. Amen? But God loves them. Man, he don't want them to. He was trying to say, hey, let's stop the killing. Put the cross up there so they can understand. The devil has to leave. So it hinders Daniel. Daniel's prayer in this chapter was hindered by the devil. While Daniel's prayer in Daniel 9 was not that three-minute prayer. Most people incorrectly assume that if they pray for something and it doesn't manifest or show up instantly, people usually think God hasn't done anything. Wrong thinking. Change your thinking if that's the way you've been thinking. You pray, oh, God didn't. God didn't. No, God did. If you prayed the word, he did. He heard. He sent the command. The angels are on the way. But that's not what this passage reveals. God commanded Daniel's prayer to be answered 3 weeks before that message got to him. Satan hindered. Say hindered. He hindered that prayer. And Satan will try to hinder your prayers too. Because that's what he does. 1 Peter 3:7 says, likewise, got any husbands in here? I'm raising my hand because I'm a husband. Any husbands in here? All right. Listen to this, husbands. Likewise, listen, everybody, if you might be a husband one day. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them. Who's them? Wives. If you're a husband, you better be married to a wife. Dwell to them according to knowledge. Need to know some things. You marry a woman, you need to know some things before you marry the woman. Pat on the back, Dad. That life lessons. Dad will teach you. Ask him. Ask Dad. He'll tell you where you're wrong. Does that man do everything perfect? No. But if you're serving the perfect one, God the Father, you're getting messages sent to you every day. Amen. And it's a light life message. It used to be a neon light that Dad's when I was in the world. And I'd go to that neon light, the bar. That's where I thought my answers were. At the bar. That's the wrong light, brother. That light don't blink in my life no more. It's burnt out. Amen. It's burnt out. That's one bulb that's not getting replaced. Because Jesus gave me light. He gave me life. That's where I hang out now. Now I might need to, if God tells you to go into the bar, you better go in there and preach the gospel. You better not be drinking while you're doing it either. Get you a soda or a cup of water, that'd be all right. If God sends you into a place, hey, I just told you, Wednesday night Bible study, my last call, I ended up where I worked at, working on appliances, and my last customer, he was intoxicated when I got there. I had to listen to a lot of, you know how drunkards can be, you know, they're good, but man, they're asking questions. I'm trying to fix something here, and I had to stay focused. And then after I fixed his broken appliance, God fixed him, because he started talking about God and wanted to know some answers, and he invoked me to where I could share Jesus, and we talked a little bit, and he's not here today, but he said he was going to come to church, but that's all right. Lord, he said the word. Angels minister to him right now in Jesus' name. Amen. And show up to him in dreams and visions the other night. Say, man, you need to be in a good church. See, that's what God, he wants to bring back to your mind. If he said something, see, I got words. He sent me some word now so I can, I don't sick the angel on him for wrong. I say, get him, Gabriel. Go speak to him, Gabriel. Give him understanding, Gabriel. See, he was asking questions. I don't care if he comes to this church. I just want him to get into a good church. And this is a good church. I'm not going to tell you the man because hopefully you'll see him one day. And he can give his testimony. All right. Likewise, did I finish that? Likewise, ye husbands, you're still wanting to answer that prayer. Dwell with them, that would be your wife, according to knowledge, giving honor, say honor, unto his wife, as unto the weaker vessel. Don't get stuck on that weaker. Yeah, I'm stronger, she's weaker. No, you're supposed to help the weak. Be strong. Come on, husband. Yeah, I'm guilty. Help her be strong in her weakness and be in heirs together of the grace of life that your prayers be not hindered. Hindrance to prayer? not blessing your wife, not being a good husband to your wife. That can hinder, that can get the devil in your life, bring strife in your life. Amen? Keep that out. With all this within you, men, be at peace with all people, right? I can do that. How you do it? Shut up. Don't say what you want to say unless it's from God. Minister grace to those, all those that hear. You're supposed to minister grace to the hearer. Hello, dear. Hello, darling. That's what you need to say to your wife. Now, you sing that song to your wife, can't you? Harold can sing that to Peggy. Hello, darling. It's been a long time. Better get off of that. That could be a hindrance to your healing. Harold, you need to sing that. You need to sing that song to her, that love song. And hey, I've heard these guys, hey, they lead the praise and worship here too. They're some good singers. Amen? Amen. They bless us here. Hindrances to healing. There are things happening in the spiritual world that determines how fast the answers make it into this physical realm. For instance, the manifestation of our answers are effective when we become discouraged, depressed. That's just a couple examples. We could talk about discouragement and depression right there, and that'd hit a lot of us right there, wouldn't it? That we see, that's a hindrance. We don't need to be depressed. We don't need to be discouraged. How do you get over that? Get an encouraging word. Think on good things. Those things that are pure, just, holy. That's how you get out of that depression. Or God's word reveals that it is according to the power that works in God. No, it works in us. That's Ephesians 3:20. God's word reveals it is according to the power that works in us. So many of us quote that first part of this verse and we take out according to the power that worketh in us. We forget to say that. We omit it. That changes the whole meaning of that verse. That's not true. It is not true that God will do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Period. Let God reign according to the power that worketh in us. See, you got to finish that verse. God can't do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Period. It's according to the power or to the ability that we understand His Word. In proportion to, that's what it means. In proportion to the power working in us, in proportion to knowing the true nature of God. See, if you're believing bad things are coming from God and you're speaking against something that's bad, God can't answer that prayer because He didn't bring the bad to begin with. Amen. Why is there a hindrance? You're looking, you're pointing fingers at the wrong entity. See, God is a spirit. And He has a Holy Spirit. Amen? And the Holy Spirit manifests, brings into revelation things that are holy, just, good. Amen? Cancer is not good. Colds are not good. The curse is not good. Just put just categorize it. Keep it simple. Curse, bad. Blessing, good. Yeah. Amen? If it's not a good, it's not coming from God. So therefore, I resist it. I fight against that with all that's within me. I resist you, Satan, in Jesus' name. Give Him a name. That's His name. Everybody has a name. And He knows when you know that you are covered by the blood, you know the power you have in the name of Jesus, He will flee. Until then, He's just like a puppy. I ain't going nowhere. I got a dog. It's not my dog. It's my son's dog, but it's in my house. And when I tell it to come, it's supposed to come inside. That's the way He's been taught. What does He do? He just sits out there with his tail pointed. Third come, But when I walk outside and come around the corner, he knows he's got to go inside. He's got to go in the cage, sometimes in the cage, sometimes. He don't get no treat because he didn't come the first time. You wonder why your prayer's not answered? Jesus came the first time. Amen. He's there. But don't let that old slew foot, that old devil. See, the devil's there too. There's demons, there's devils around this area right now, guys. Attitudes, thoughts. But guess what? God's greater.
Amen.
Amen. Think on these things. And see, you don't have to, that's not your thought. If it's coming from the devil, that's your mind. Tell that thought to leave in Jesus' name. Don't entertain. Say entertain.
Entertain.
Amen. We know what it is to be entertained. Go to movies. You know, we're entertained for 2 hours, 3 hours. Lord, they're getting longer to where they're going to have to give us a 30-minute intercession. They're getting so long. Entertainment. You leave that place, you're feeling different. You're kind of like you're a part of what was going on in there. Devil, he wants to bring you all these thoughts of fear, and he wants you to entertain it. Sit down and party with it, drink with it, have some popcorn chips. And then next thing you know, it possesses you. It becomes a part of you. And then we wonder why I'm not walking in victory. You got to get that out of there. How do you get it out? Get out. Admit it, quit it, and forget it. Thank you, Tammy. Admit it, quit it, and then forget it. If you truly quit it, forget it. Amen? Because you're forgiven. Say, I'm forgiven. Because Jesus said, you're forgiven. Amen? And then you're free. Jesus told us in Acts, wait a minute, remember, that's the power that is working in us. God has that power, but this verse ties the use of his ability, say grace, is God's part. I'm saved by grace through faith. That's my part. That's according to the power that's working in me. If I want that grace working, I got to, by faith, take it, speak it, live it. They'll just live by faith, walk by faith. We die in faith. Amen? And then in my old body, I just lay it down. Let it go. When I'm done, finish my race, run my course, it goes back to the ground. But it's still God's. Because at the end, man, we're getting that back too. Praise the Lord. Better. Say better. So go ahead and get used to better now. Go ahead and get used to your body being, say, body,
be better now.
Because, see, Jesus removed the curse from the earth. What is your body? Dirt. That's all you see, dirt. Pretty dirt back here. I see a lot of pretty dirt. Dirt that's dressed up with shiny clothes on. Some dirts are wearing watches. We got red dirt, white dirt, black dirt. See, I'm not racist. I'm just coming. God loves different colors. Amen? But we all bleed red, right? We all bleed the same color. See, man started this race and religion and all this stuff. God ain't never changed. Everything he created is good dirt. Amen. Adam said, whoa, man, good woman. Beautiful dirt, different than Adam. Remember the Indians and the old one? Kimo sabe. They kept things simple, man. So we just get things complicated. Speak to one another. Just keep things simple. See, deer, run. Meat, good. Woman, good. Man, we try to complicate things. Y'all like Lone Ranger? He was a good hero, good faith hero. Lone Ranger Tonto. What was his horse? Named Silver, right? How old Silver? Jesus is coming back on a horse. You gonna ride? You like to ride horses? Anybody like to ride horses? Well, you better get used to it. Yeah, you're going to ride one by faith, because when we get born again, we're coming back riding horses with Jesus. He has a title, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's what's hidden on his horse. There's only one horse that has that title. But we get to ride with him. And reign, say reign, Kenny. We'll be ruling and reigning with him on this earth. We're going back to the cowboy days. Horses, brother. Well, what about my Lamborghini? You get to keep it too. You just tie it up. You know, you won't go back to horses, man. Once you ride the horse Jesus gives you, I mean, this is totally off topic, but you need to be laughing. You need to know that God is good. My daddy loved horses, but I didn't. If my family was here, they could give testament, because, see, I was the baby. They always say the baby. They like the baby better. Baby brother, baby son, you know, they're different. No, we wasn't. We was just baby. We were smaller. I didn't like horses. Daddy would get those mares. To somebody my size, a horse is like, man, that's a beast. I mean, it's huge. Come on up here. Daddy would set me on that horse, put me on the way up there, man, in the ground, and that horse is clunk, 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 clunk. Daddy's drunk. You can smell alcohol a mile away. Now I'm up on the horse with my dad, and he's drunk, and I was scared. Mama, get me off of here. Mama won't come. Mama wouldn't mess with Daddy when he's drunk. You don't want to mess with Daddy when he's drunk. Put him on the horse. So guess what? One of my birthdays, you know what Daddy got me? Oh, a pony. I didn't want no horse. Oh, but he's fine. He's been broken. He's a good pony. See, Daddy had cowboy friends. This is one of those stories that my brothers and sisters, see, they were younger. Guess what? They were holding the horse. Now, put Robert on the pony and let him ride the pony. Now, Dad wasn't there, but I don't want to ride this pony. Get up there. This is my brother. Get up there. Dad told us, you got to ride this pony. You got to learn how to ride the pony. So they put me on the pony. You know what happens? The pony starts bucking. And everybody leaves me. And guess what? Here I go. And the saddle. Somebody didn't strap the saddle. You know what happened? It slid and my foot got caught. So here I am. And I finally got loose from the pony. You want to ride horses anymore? No, I didn't want to ride to begin with. And they got mad at me because now they got to go chase. Got to catch the pony before Daddy gets home. Because if the horse is gone, Daddy's going to whoop everybody. I didn't ride no ponies. I didn't ride horses after that. So see, I'm talking one that I got to learn. I'm going to be riding a horse. But this one ain't going to be bucking. This one's going to be listening to my commands. Because God said we have authority over all creatures. Amen. This is going to be a faith horse. He's going to know. He's going to follow Jesus. I say, follow Jesus. That horse, you better follow Jesus. I said, if you don't, I'll get me another one just like you. I'm talking to the horse now. You better follow Jesus, because if you don't, I'll get another one better than you. See, hindrances to healing. What has Jesus said? What is true? Jesus told us in Acts 1:8, need to act like Jesus told us to act like. You shall receive power. Say power.
Power.
After that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, Concord, Mooresville, to the uttermost parts of the earth. Romans 1:16 says, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. If you're not anointed and filled with the Holy Ghost, you don't have the power working as a witness for you. In other words, you're not going to believe you can lay hands on the sick. You're not going to believe you can speak to melanoma cancer and somebody speak to somebody face to face, eye to eye, and say, it don't have to have authority over you. You're not going to have that boldness because it's not me, it's Christ in me. Once I got anointed with the Holy Ghost and power and started speaking in tongues and spending time in prayer and getting to know the Word and the Word getting to know me, and now I just believe by faith God can do all things. It took that baptism. If you hadn't got baptized in the Holy Ghost, this would be a good place to receive. I know Jack Smith ain't here, but he was here at one time, and he's a pastor now. When I called this out, he was getting up at the end of the service and came down here, and he was speaking in tongues before he even got to me. It ain't me. He was coming to Jesus. He was coming to the Word. Jesus baptizes you in the Holy Ghost. John says, I baptize you with water. Thank you, John the Baptist. But John said, there's one coming mightier than me. I'm not even worthy to take his sandal off and untie it and loose it. But he's going to baptize you with firepower. Firepower. The Holy Ghost and power. And you will be witnesses. Just like on the day of Pentecost. That's Acts 1:8. The power came. It was poured out from heaven because Jesus is in heaven now. And God the Father and the Son and the Great, they poured out his power. And the Holy Spirit says, now I can minister. I had that. The Holy Spirit came within the church, within the people, and he never leaves. Amen. But you got to speak. You got to speak. You got to yield your tongue to the Holy Ghost. That's the power of God unto salvation, yielding your will to his will, to God's will. That's when the power comes in. It might be your family. They think you're crazy. Looney Tunes. I don't care. Sing them a gospel tune. Jesus, Jesus. It's just the name of Jesus. Faith in the name of Jesus. If you are not baptized in the Holy Spirit, that can be a hindrance to your prayer being manifested. Amen. That's a big hindrance, I would say, because that was something I didn't have and I received. And man, you ain't getting it back from me. And I got power now. I can pray in my most holy faith. I can speak mysteries unto my Father God that the devil can't understand. He didn't know Jesus was the Son of God. If he would, the Bible said they wouldn't have crucified the King of Glory. See, he don't know. Amen? But he knows when you speak the name of Jesus in faith, the devils have to flee. They know. Oh, they know. They know you've been to church. You've been to got filled, got spirit filled. Amen? All right. Thank you, Jesus. I got two pages, but I'm not going to get quite done with two. So you have to come back to get the rest of the story. I want to talk about one, though, disobedient. Being disobedient could be a hindrance to your healing, to your prayers being answered. 1 John 4:4, this is King James Version. And there's different versions out there, but make sure if you want to know you got a good version, take it back to the original Hebrew and Greek. And if it matches up well, that is, that's a good version. But if it ain't, because you don't want people's opinions comment, you want their, this is what the Word says, and this is, some of them give you, the Amplified gives you more of what the Word says, because King James didn't put all those in there. Amen? But King James is a good one. 1 John 4:4 says, "You are children, ye are of God, little children, and have overcame them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." See, not everybody's a child of God, though. They're not world overcomer. The world's overcoming them. And some of them like it. They like the world and all that it has. But they're being deceived. They're in deception. Because one day they're going to die of something and they don't know God. They're going to live in death forever, separated from God. That's hell, brothers. That's hell. Separated from God forever. Not knowing his goodness. Being tormented day and night. That's hell. Amen? That's real. Hell is real. God is greater than the devil. But Satan can hinder God's plan in your life if a physical person cooperates and gives the devil the authority to do so. See, there's other people, when you pray, there's other people involved, Christian people involved, with God working and getting your prayer answered. Now, when I say prayer, if it's financial, can't no other person heal you. Only Jesus is your healer, because we're talking about healing. But there's people that can get you in disobedience, get you in strife, that's being influenced by the devil. You're trying to get healed, and they're trying to get you fighting with your wife, fighting with your kids, fighting with your boss. That can hinder your healing, being worked through people. Well, Pastor, I'll just go into a place like the monks go, and I'll just separate myself from the world, separate myself from people. Yeah, that's really going to, you're going to have a powerful witness there, ain't you? Amen. See, the devil will say, you need to just go hide somewhere and just be a monk. Yeah, be a dumb monk. That's what you be. Amen. God needs you out here destroying power, principalities and powers, and they're working through people. So the people are not getting blessed if you go out there and just say, well, I'm going to hide myself away from all people. I didn't see Jesus doing that. I seen Jesus eating and casting out devils while he was eating. Jesus could have a piece of Kentucky Fried Chicken in one hand, and somebody come possessed, he'd take care of that devil and can finish eating. Because, see, Jesus knows the devil's devices. He knows. He's not afraid of the devil. If Jesus was having meetings here today and we went to one of those meetings, there'd be all kind of crazy things going on, and he would still be focused and getting people saved, healed, delivered. All that would come to him would be set free, because, see, he's not focused on what's going on around him. He's focused on what's going on the inside of him and that person. And he would take care of the devil. He would say to somebody that was blind, spit on them right in the eye. He said, now go wash. Be like, man, so, I'm not telling you to go spit in people's eyes out here. I can see y'all leaving now. See somebody blind, you go spit on them. And you go tell them to go wash. They might smack you upside the head or something. They might not be blind. See, a lot of people out there are not blind and receiving discipline. I'm just saying, there's some people out there that are lying and saying they're sick and not. And reaping the benefits of it. Hey, there's thieves out there. That's what the thief does. But you know what? If God tells you, if Jesus says do it, they'll be healed. But see, you got to do what Jesus says. Amen. If the Holy Ghost said, Paul, don't go to Macedonia, don't go. No, don't go to here, go to Macedonia. Go. But I thought Jesus said go into all the world. He did. But not today. You're not going over there today. Go here. See? And God knows all these things. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. So when Tammy will say, media team, we need to sing God Reigns. Media team don't say, well, that wasn't on the program. We don't have that back there. No, they're finding it. They're looking. See, they know Tammy. They know just because it's not on there don't mean be ready. Be ready. Miss Tammy calls out something, be ready. Because that means God's speaking. God heard something. She heard something from the Holy Ghost. Somebody's getting ready to be healed. Amen? And it happened. God reigns. Thank you, Jesus. Told you. You come to this church, don't expect this to happen next Sunday. but expect God to happen here. Amen. God reigns here. God lives here. God moves here. God works here. Be expecting. Come in. Amen. You're taking something when you leave here. Amen. Take it and give it to somebody else. Give them Jesus. Give them what they need. Thank you, Lord. God is greater than the devil, but Satan can hinder God's plan by using other people. And he does, and he will. Say, but not me. Devil's not going to use me anymore. If we are disobedient to what the Lord has instructed us to do, we can fall into pride. If we're disobedient, we can fall into pride. Talking about hindrances to healing, disobedience. James 4, 6 through 8, and we're coming to a close here. James 4, 6 through 8 says, but he gives grace. More grace. I like that. More grace. Wherefore he says, God resists the proud. So see, why would it be bad to get into pride? Because God's going to resist you. Well, I thought God loved me. He does, but he's not going to manifest in that stuff. He's going to resist you. I don't want God resisting me. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. To the humble. What makes a humble heart? A hearing ear. That makes humble. Well, Jesus, that wasn't on my notes. Preach it. See, I gotta say what Jesus wants to be said. Well, that might offend somebody. I'm gonna say it. Amen. Because if you don't get offended, you'll get blessed. Yeah. See, Jesus, remember that rich young ruler that came and fell at his feet? Good master, come sliding in. Pride came in, sliding in. I've done all these things. I've kept the law. See, that's pride speaking. Jesus knew, there's something in there. And Jesus saw it. And he said, why you call me good? You need to call me God. Oh, pride can't call. Pride won't confess Jesus. Pride won't confess Jesus as Lord. So that's the spirit of pride. It won't confess Jesus. And he said, Master. See, he changed it. Master, what must I do? He said, sell all that you have. See, Jesus told him the truth. He loved him. Love told him the truth. He knew money had a hold of him. That was his God. The law says, and he said the law, thou shalt have no other gods before me. He already broke the first one. But came to Jesus and said, I've kept all the law. Jesus said, liar. Hey, if we say that, it don't matter. We can't. The law is not going to get us grace. And Jesus said, sell all that you have and follow me. Jesus knew his heart, Kenny, and his heart wasn't right before God. And he left sad. I'd been sad too. Man, you just walked away from Jesus. If he would have sold everything, Jesus would have blessed him back. See, there would have been a law working there. But see, he couldn't see that because the devil had him blinded that if I give everything, see, pride, it says, if you give, you're going to not be blessed. That's the devil's kingdom. God's kingdom says, you want to go up, go down. Humble yourself. Give. That means you're putting trust in God, his kingdom, not man's kingdom. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. God won't flee from you. The devil will. Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. And I like to say this, let's make sure we're resisting the devil and not assisting the devil. Because if you're in disobedience, if you're doing exactly opposite of what God says to do, if God says give and you said, not today, it's Father's Day, I'm going to go buy my dad a nice present, I can't give at church day. See, you're being disobedient to Jesus. You're being disobedient to your heavenly Father. And he's more precious than your earthly father. I'm not even supposed to call him. Don't call your father, father. Call him dad. That's what, pat on the back, dad, because I only have one father. my Heavenly Father. No dad can take his place. Amen. And he's a good father. Thank you, Jesus. Shut your eyes. Tradition would say bow your head. You can bow your head if you want to. But you know why I want you to shut your eyes? Because I want you to see Jesus. I don't want you to see Pastor Robert Jackson up here. I want you to know that Jesus loves you unconditionally. He knew you before you knew him. See, I didn't find Jesus. Jesus wasn't lost. I was. I didn't find Jesus. He found me. I just surrendered. It's like he stuck his finger in my back and wanted me to give my life to him, and I finally did. I surrendered. I want you just to surrender your life to Jesus. I'm not talking about if you're listening to this by radio and you haven't been born again, you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. But surrender your life, your will to Jesus today. Whatever you're needing, if it's healing, know that Jesus has already healed you when he was beaten for you, when the blood was shed for you. You have been healed. Well, Pastor, I don't see it. I don't care. You got to see it with your eyes shut. You got to see it now. You got to see that Jesus is greater than any need in your life. He has already met that need. But you got to treat him just like you treat your wife or somebody you can physically see. Jesus is just as real, even though you can't see him. He was touched in every way that we were touched, with infirmities, with slander, with mockery. But he loved every one of them. He hated the devil and he hates evil, and so do I. So I'm with your eyes shut, I'm speaking to you. I ain't got to call you by name. Jesus called you by name. You just received this. I'm going to be talking to spirits this morning in the name of Jesus. And if you don't like a spirit that's bothering you, agitating you, let it go today, because I'm going to speak to it. See, that's your body. I'm talking to everybody in this church, but I'm talking to people listening to this that catch this audio. I'm speaking to spirits today that are hindering God's blessing flowing in your life. And I'm going to take authority over them because Jesus said I have authority over them. And he has set me in order in this church as pastor over this church. And if you come in this church, you're supposed to leave this church better than when you came in. Because this is God's church. This is his house, and it's a house of prayer. And spirits, I speak to you right now in the name of Jesus. Evil spirits, lying spirits, spirits of infirmities, I speak to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And I command you to get underneath these people's feet right now in Jesus' name. You lying spirit that's been speaking to the minds of God's people, you are... thank you, Jesus. You're defeated. You spirits of darkness, principalities and powers, you're defeated. I don't care what you've spoken. I don't care what the people have spoken. They determine today that they're going to be free. And Jesus set them free, so you have to flee. We submit to God. They submit to God. And we resist you. We fight against you right now. You lying spirits, in the name of Jesus. You spirits that are unclean, I command you to come out of the people right now, out of their minds, and I cast these thoughts down in the name of Jesus. I speak peace. I release peace. Jesus said, when you come to a place, release your peace, receive the peace. We receive the peace of God in this place right now. And I thank you, Father God, for cells in people's bodies, bad cells, rebellious cells, shut up and come out of their bodies in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for white blood cells and red blood cells, whatever counts are supposed to be. You stand up and be counted in these bodies in the name of Jesus. You stand up and you be normal in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you, Lord. Eye diseases right now, I speak against eye diseases and I command them to cease in operation right now. Generational curses, I command you to cease right now in the name of Jesus. This day, the people are going free. They're going free, and they're going free, and they're taking freedom. They're taking liberty to this world. Jesus came and destroyed you, Satan, and we destroy your work today in this place and these people, this particular group of people, and all those that are not here, Lord, that's a part of this church. The same goes for them, Satan. You hear me? Because I have influence. I have place in their life by the grace of God to speak into their life. And I command them to be free and to be at peace. And I thank you for that right now, Lord. When those spirits try to come back, that the people right now will have skill. Say, I want everybody to say this. I have skill and I have understanding in the Word of God. And I will give no place to the devil. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord right there. I see walls. I see the walls of Jericho. They're down. They're down. There's walls that were being built up brick by brick, brick by brick, that we didn't even know, that you didn't even know. Jesus said, I knew that lying devil. Thank you, Jesus. Miss Vivian, Bob's blessed. He's gonna fulfill everything God's put in his heart to do. And you have been a faithful wife right by his side. And you're gonna see more blessings in your life than you've seen yet. By the grace of God and by the Spirit of God, I thank you right now for moving to the Cohens right now, Lord. Obstacles being moved out of their way. And Father, for them seeing the desires of their hearts being manifested in this earth now, in Jesus' name. Father, you're worthy. Ron, I thank you right now. Father, I thank you for Ron. I thank you, Lord, for touching his life. I thank you, Lord, for giving him a godly wife for all these years. And Ron, she is not separated from you. She is more a part of you now than she'll ever be, because she's with Jesus. And if she's with Jesus, Jesus never leaves you. He never forsakes you. So that I can boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and he's got my wife beside him. And I know I'm going to get through stuff, because she's right beside Jesus, praying for us, interceding for us. And you've got the victory. You've got the victory. Now speak victory over your family, your family that's left down here. Speak what you want to see happen in Jesus' name. Because you have the agreement of your wife. She's not agreeing down here. She's already agreed down here. And she's still in agreement with you. She's not coming out. So speak and declare what she would want you to shout in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. I see. Ha-ha. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to shut my eyes. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I see a bright city. I see the city John saw. I don't see it with my natural eyes. I see it in the Word of God. There is a city that's filled with love and light and hope. Jesus said, I am the light of this city. And this city is in you. It's the living hope that's on the inside of each of my children. Don't let the world pull down the shade on this city. Don't let this world drown out what you know that I have given you. Life eternal, full of light and life. For I am the God of the universe. I have spoken, I have decreed, and I have set you free. I have given you my son Jesus, and he is now with me. So you have the victory. You have the victory. But you've got to let the devil know he's defeated. Enforce your victory, your God-given victory. Don't wear it on your sleeves. Put it in your hand. It's the sword of the Word. It's the Word. It's the sword. Take it and use it against the evil, against the darkness. Pierce the darkness with the Word of God, with the love of God, and watch people be set free. Because I have room in this city. There's room in my city for all. The poor, the weak, the maimed, the blind, the homeless. My city wants to be filled. I have homes to be filled. And I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for using us to bring your family home. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, man, I saw it. You see it? See, we just got to shut our eyes sometimes, man. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. There's healing in his wings. See, them angels, they don't bring the healing. They bring the message. They bring the word. They've got wings. Jesus don't have wings. He is the word. Amen. Let's stand this morning.